Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hey, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 419 days.
Wow, almost 420.
Almost 420. Blaze it.
I am Katie, and I have been alcohol-free for 330 days.
Katie, how are you feeling? We're in person right now, everybody. We are staring into each other's eyes as we're doing this podcast. I can ask her how she's feeling.
Oh, man. I'm feeling so good. Definitely riding out a high. Last week was pretty amazing, just in general. And it's pretty cool that I can say that coming off of a holiday.
What made last week so amazing?
I just felt like really calm, cool, and collected. Like I didn't feel like I reacted to everything that I interacted with. And I just feel like I took care of myself. And so that feels really good.
I love that.
Yeah. What about you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I talked in our last episode that I was dreading coming down here, but I actually got to spend a lot of time with you and get some stuff done for the podcast and do a little bit of shopping. So yes, it's been good. It was really cute to see Grandma and Grandpa. And I know that my dad's going to be really excited to be at the football game with me tomorrow, even though it's not my most favorite thing.
He's thankful for that.
Yeah, it will mean a lot to him. And then I'll be home, you know, and be able to have a day to get my shit together. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like, yeah, glad to be out of the house, actually. And yes, it'll make coming home better. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
This is good to get out.
I know. I advocated for myself and took a day off. It's not a normal scheduled day off. So that felt good today.
Good for you.
So we had Thanksgiving yesterday, and I was going to say that at both the Thanksgivings we stopped by at, it was so cool to acknowledge that neither of the family Thanksgivings that I celebrated, like, alcohol wasn't out on the counter. There was none.
Is there usually at those people's houses? Do you think there's been a shift or just...
No, not really.
Not a big deal. Like,
no,
not...
it was... I'm realizing looking back that it was a big deal to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, alcohol was there because I brought it, right? Like, yeah. I always showed up with my favorite, like, IPA, because my uncle and I both love, rest in peace, to IPAs. But shout out to Athletic Brewing and Crux for their non-alcoholic options.
Yeah, we just had a Crux one, and it was really good.
So good. So, yeah, I'd always bring, you know, beverages, alcoholic beverages, and people would participate, but I didn't realize that that would not be happening because I wasn't drinking. So yeah, that was
you were bringing
cool.
It to the party. Yeah,
I am the party. But yeah, I was just saying, I actually just posted a reel on Instagram just like making jokes about wanting to celebrate 11 months alcohol free with a cocktail, and I was kidding. However, I did celebrate today by doing a 5k.
yeah,
and spending money at Lululemon. So win-win.
Yes.
Better ways to celebrate, for sure, for me anyways.
Yeah. You know, it's just so weird that alcohol was always the thing that was like, oh, I drink it when I'm happy, I drink it when I'm stressed, I drink it when I'm sad. Like, you're using the same thing for all the different emotions.
All the feelings. Yeah. Yes. That's such a good way to put that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of like brings us to our topic of the day. We are talking about gray area drinking.
50 Shades of Gray area drinking.
I still love those books. No shame.
I would read them. I haven't.
You
but
haven't?
I
have no. Them all on my bookshelf.
Oh my God. Can we?
Yes.
Yes.
I also have Twilight.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I just feel like we're the right age to enjoy both those things.
Yeah.
I mean, for our age, those are enjoyable.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's like a...
indicative of our generation. Yeah. The part of the generation that we're from.
Yeah. They're everywhere. That shit was blown up.
I had a friend who would dress up in her Twilight gear, and she would make me go to the opening night of every movie.
Oh, I love did that her. With Harry Potter, though.
Yeah.
I went to the midnight showings and stood in the long line outside, and I
Did you
I
have your
it.
Wand?
No.
We have one, if you want to borrow it. It's interactive.
I don't think I need it right now, okay. But the... I'll let you know when I need it to borrow it.
Yeah.
It's on loan.
Okay. So,
gray area drinking.
Yeah, we're talking about gray area drinking. What does drinking and habits, like what do they look like and for who and what do we call them? And then does everyone have to quit booze entirely?
Yeah. Before I stopped drinking, I definitely felt like if someone had quit drinking before, it was because something really horrible happened and they were an alcoholic. Like the idea of not having, you know, whatever that person considers as a rock bottom, they just don't understand. There's a lot of middle ground. There's a lot of gray area. There's
totally.
There's so many different things. So I don't know. It's
well, and I think that different relationships with alcohol are established by different trauma, you know,
yeah,
different joy.
Sure. Yeah.
Biological reasons, you know, lack of resources and tools. And so I think there's this really interesting movement happening right now where people are like, oh, I'm just not drinking this month.
Yeah.
And I love that. If that was an option for me, or I felt like that was an option for me, I would do it.
Yeah.
But it's not. And it's so cool to see all of this information emerge, especially Instagram is huge and is so helpful. And TikTok, we've got some resources to share with you guys today. But there are pages that specifically address just being sober curious and having a conscious relationship with alcohol. You can still drink, but why are we drinking? Let's journal afterward if we felt like we went overboard. Like, what can we install in our self-help to heal ourselves so we have a more healthy relationship with alcohol?
Well, and Katie and I have both said on a previous podcast that we both don't identify as alcoholics.
Right.
And so that plus the fact that I don't know, I'm like Cali sober. There's all these different other things. Mm-hmm. And so what do I identify as? And then it's hard to, I don't know. I hate the word booze free. I always say that.
I love it.
It's so weird to be like, I'm sober doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
Either. Because I'm not.
I say that I don't drink. Like, when, yeah. You know, I'm like, oh, I don't drink.
Yeah.
I don't call it a name. I have said I'm alcohol free. Mm-hmm. Just to be like extremely like cut to the chase. And that especially because I have really strong convictions about alcohol and what it does to your physical body. And so I think for me, that's definitely been a pretty serious part of my journey. And so I make it very clear that I'm alcohol free. And I'm not an expert on anything. So I also like to tell people who don't know, there is an alcohol use spectrum.
Yeah, it's not just
there's not
alcoholic
just,
or not
exactly. And so many people in society for so long has been you're an alcoholic or you can drink as much as you want whenever you want and still maintain and hold down a lifestyle. There hasn't really been a lot of in between those two things.
Like, yeah, it makes sense that alcoholism or addiction in general would be a spectrum because so is fucking gender and so is sexuality and so is everything. It is really hard to actually find circumstances where something is truly just black and white.
Exactly. Well, and especially when we're realizing that so much of that black and whiteness has been determined by what's acceptable in culture and what's not.
Yes.
And now that we're questioning that, like that, what we would call a construct, right? Like a societal construct. Mm-hmm. It's time, exactly, that we look at all things from a point of view where it's not the same for everyone ever.
And not to mention the fact that pinning someone as an alcoholic, think about the amount of money that big alcohol is making. Mm-hmm. And if you call someone an alcoholic and make that person
villainized,
the bad person who's an addict who can't control, you know, then they don't have to.
Big alcohol does not have to take responsibility
right.
for the people who fall victim to the effects of alcohol.
Right. But there are things that are actually addictive, right? Like cigarettes have to say on them now, at least, that nicotine is an addictive chemical. Like warning, if you start vaping, I hate to break it to you, if you did that and think that you're going to be able to quit, like you will get addicted. Everyone can get addicted to alcohol, not just you because there's something wrong with you.
Yes, exactly. So. And I think that that is the whole this whole amazing like movement that we were able to get caught up in. And I believe that it's a movement, and I believe it's making the, you know, the world better, is like questioning that and having a shame-free space to like have your journey with alcohol. I know Instagram has helped me with that, and Reframe app. And I mean, just they're pioneers in this like sober, curious community who have paved the way for all of us to question ourselves and have support.
Which I also love, because it takes that amount of like how many people were in that not black and white of going to Alcoholics Anonymous, because going to AA was not something that is currently part of my sobriety journey,
right?
Or that would ever be. And so if I didn't start learning about other people who were cutting back on drinking, who were successful and not going through that program, I don't know. I don't know if I would have believed that that was something that I could do too, if I didn't.
Exactly. Well, if you think about it, there is no one type of recovery for any other substance besides alcohol.
Yeah.
And you know, there are not very many other drugs, which alcohol acts like a drug by definition.
Yeah.
That you should do as much as you can every single day until you can't anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no one else is asking you to do that with cocaine.
Yeah.
No one else is asking you that with meth.
Yeah.
Or heroin. And I actually, you know what, I would backtrack and say with prescription drugs, when doctors are prescribing them, you know, especially painkillers, narcotics, things like that.
Yeah.
They take it away from you once you've developed a problem, right? Like, it's perpetuated by this idea of like more, more, more. Oh, you have a problem now. You can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You are the problem.
And then so, it's your fault. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was thinking about that when you were just mentioning AA. So I've mentioned my dad's sober.
Yeah.
And he's been sober for like 11 years, I think. A long time. And AA has worked for him. And
he swears by it.
Yeah. Well, he's had stints in the past of sobriety too, just like in between, you know, his whole life. It's been something that he's worked on. I think he got sober at 43, this last time. And he loves AA. But I think, you know, for one for every three people in the room might love AA, but what were the other two doing?
Just still drinking.
Right. Probably. And so I think that that's like a good thing, is like AA should be included in all these amazing paths to recovery. I don't ever want anyone to think that I don't think that it's a great tool, because it could work for one in three.
Yeah.
So now the work that needs to be done is finding what fits the other two.
Right. And we were talking about earlier, maybe me potentially trying a different type of therapy, because I was not really feeling like there were certain things with my recent therapist that I wasn't getting that I felt like I needed. And if you think about how many types of therapy there are.
So many.
You know, like CBT, DBT, like all of this different stuff. And so I think sober curiosity, or that kind of at least some sort of a middle ground for people who either go to AA or don't do anything, is super important. So this is just the type of, I don't know, just like there's multiple types of therapy, there's multiple types of recovery.
Yeah, because there are just unlimited amounts of people and what works for them.
Yeah. And it's a spectrum and everyone's different. And so I also think it's hard to find that middle ground, at least from what I found, of I don't want to come across like I am judging, or even the sober curious folks definitely get the flack from people who do drink. And so it's hard to be in the middle sometimes with that. The non-drinkers think that you're judging them, and the people who are in a really, you know, kind of strict tried and true program think that you're
wild.
Yeah.
You're still an active addiction, right? Like,
there
definitely, that word is used a lot, and I use it not to talk about myself, because I don't consider the time that I was drinking that I was in a cycle of addiction. I of course, was making poor choices, but I didn't have a healthy relationship with myself.
Yeah.
So that's really, I think, where my alcohol use disorder, that's what I would call it,
yeah,
came into play. It was very much so. I always had a job, and I was always, for the most part, paying my bills. You know, I had a little credit card thing here and there, yeah, in my early 20s, but I'm very privileged, and I'm like I have access to all the things that I need. But at the time, I just didn't know myself very well, and I think that I had to quit drinking alcohol in order to get to a place where I had a healthier relationship with myself, which was really the key. But my drinking looked like going out, dancing, drinking more and more and more and more, like trying to, every time I drank, I would just like go ham, but I wouldn't drink for 10 days, 14 days even sometimes.
Yeah, which is a little different than me. I would drink like every night after work for a while, and then I would take like a 3-day break, but I don't know. There were periods where there was more in between, but I least drank 3 times a week.
Right.
Every week.
Yeah. And there were weeks where I was doing that as well. Like we've talked about hard seltzers. Wait, I need a sidebar. How has it that Big Alcohol has coined seltzer as an alcoholic beverage? We are now saying non-alcoholic seltzers. Seltzer is non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
It should be considered a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
That's what people should call it.
Yeah.
But they don't.
They just call it seltzer now?
Yeah, because White Claw's it's a seltzer. Oh yeah.
I'm going to order like a soda water with lime at a bar and get just like straight fucking only White Claw. Yeah.
Also, I've said seltzer so many times now. When I say it, it sounds like I'm saying it wrong. So I have to...
Seltzer.
Seltzer.
Excelsior.
Okay, so as I was saying, there was a point where I was drinking every day, but... For me, since I was a young kid, it was the blacking out when I was drinking.
Yeah.
And the way that I would treat myself during those times and treat other people. But like from an outsider's perspective, this got brought up at Thanksgiving. Everyone thought that I was awesome and great. And I'm like, yeah, I was, but sometimes I wasn't at all. And I just would never share that with you. That's the performance piece that comes in with... You know, always trying hard to be well liked and to be loved and to feel like you fit in. And so all of that definitely played a part in my drinking habits for sure.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about that too, where I've shared probably at least one embarrassing story an episode. And I don't know why I feel so comfortable doing that.
I love it. I'm here for it.
On the podcast. But I think people have that perception too, where they're like, oh, like, this person doesn't need to quit drinking. Like, you're fine. Like, honestly, you're fine. And it's like, you don't know, like...
Honestly, I am fine, but I want to be fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's people that are fine. Or for me, I'm like, there was a time that I went to the hospital that you don't know about.
You don't know that I'm taking, you know, medication that I cannot have alcohol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get that. And for me, it was definitely like driving. Well, you think I'm great, but I chugged 4 IPAs in 3 hours and then drove. Yeah. And like for them, that might be something that's okay, but I could not do that anymore.
Yeah.
To myself and other people. And so, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Well, and I think that that's where it comes into play, where people are then thinking about their choices.
Right.
You know, and that's a hard part. But I remember last episode you were like, well, I still smoke weed, you know, like, so they better accept your sobriety, you know?
Yeah. And then that makes me feel validated when I talk to those people, but then I beat myself up at home for the exact same thing.
Yeah. So. Replacement addiction is real.
Yes. And I'm struggling with that right now. And so it's hard sometimes to kind of give advice or feel like I can even speak on this sober curious or sobriety thing, because I don't know if I, you know...
If you're doing it right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that definitely ties into, like, do you have to, you know, for the reasons that you do want to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol, does that necessarily mean that it has to be cutting it out completely or cutting everything out completely? Or is it, I think it's up to the individual to make that decision.
100%. Yeah, that there's just so much there, I feel like. And I think that we're going to continue to discover so much in that gray area as we continue our relationship with alcohol, or the lack there of one, you know?
Yeah.
But like balance is the key, really. And it's not just alcohol we have a hard time balancing. It's doing our dishes. It's exercising. It's preparing our food. It's, you know, money. It's all of the things. And so,
yeah, not drinking feels like I'm like taking part of the weight off of my shoulders for all of the things that I beat myself up about.
Yes.
And it feels really good having a little bit of that weight off. I'm day to day more comfortable. And so for me, every time that I've gone sober, I've made the decision to do only 30 days, but I ended up doing it longer and longer and longer each time just because the results felt good. And so I don't have any desire to drink because I always want to feel this good.
Yeah, for sure.
And but yeah, you could do that for 10 days and still feel the benefits, still get everything from that, and then do it again for a couple days and then...
Yeah.
Whatever.
For anyone listening that is like, oh, I can be a part of the Sober Curious Club and still drink. And it's like, yeah, you fucking can be.
Yeah.
You can want to just have a more mindful and a more like regulated alcohol use situation going on. Sorry, my husband is in the house and he's playing a video game and he's screaming in the background.
Yeah, so. He's wilding out.
He's being crazy. And my cats are chasing each other around the house and it's just like, this is so out of the normal recording environment. So.
I know. And I'm here. And so I'm staring into Katie's
and I'm like, my eyeballs house.
While I'm talking yes. to her, which is, yeah.
It's amazing. And I love it. So, Kaylee.
Yes.
How would you characterize your...
Like where I fall on the spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that as of right now, you know, 419 days in.
420 blaze it.
420 blaze it days in. I still get what I call like itchy. Like if I'm doing an activity that I used to drink at and everyone else is drinking, I still kind of get that little itch to be like, man, I really wish I was like doing this or participating. That's again like when I lean on all of my other vices.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, like eat and smoke my feelings and drink a million NA beverages. But so I do think I really like don't want to go back to drinking and I have no desire to. So I'm not like worried about myself, but I feel like if I were to go back drinking, it would pretty quickly go back to the same. I don't know if I can have a moderate relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I've tried that before.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. I have never quit alcohol before, right? Like,
yeah.
I would pretend to play along with the 30 days and I would go 5 days, 6 days, but like I wasn't quitting, right?
Right.
So I don't know if I would be able to, but I just don't think I'm going to try.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I've done a lot of work, but as, you know, 40-year-old Katie will laugh at this statement, but I feel good. Like, I feel intact and like I have improved my relationship with myself and I trust myself more. But I don't, because I've learned so much, I feel like I don't want to take the chance to unlearn and fall back into those same habits and patterns. And,
yeah,
you know, one of the biggest questions that Kaylee and I, we talk about, we discuss this is like, how do you know when to stop? Like, is there some kind of, right? Like, is there a scale that tells you, oh, now you're in the problem zone or nope, you're back in the good zone. Like, what does that even look like? And Kayla Lyons, if you don't follow Kayla, go follow her. She created 1,000 Hours Dry and that has just expanded. There's 1,000 Hour Dry Babes, 1,000 Hour Dry Canada, 1,000 Hour Dry Parents, 1,000 Hour Dry BIPOC. Like, there's so many sects of the 1,000 Hour Dry Club. And essentially what it is it's an Instagram challenge that you don't drink alcohol for 1,000 days and there's a community.
That's really cool.
It's so cool. And they have merch and they have like, you know, there's a forum and you can go to their website. It's amazing. And she quit, I think she was like 21
when she quit drinking.
Yeah. And her story is really interesting. She has a great podcast too called The Dry Life.
Okay.
Which I had never heard The Dry Life before we created Dry Hard Pod, but I felt like we were in really good company when I, like, my path crossed hers and we started talking about podcasting. And she was like, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's telling me it's hard. She has like multiple super successful, like sobriety, you know, like workshops, and she has created a reframe app, which is amazing. And yeah. she's younger than me, and she has a podcast, and she's telling me it's hard. I'm never gonna be able to do this.
Oh my God.
You know, no, but she's so cool. And she talks about this stuff a lot, and she's created a space where people can still drink. But
yeah,
having those mindful breaks is awesome because there is no scale.
Well, and shame is just gonna make, you yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Dude, speaking of shame, all I will have drinking nightmares.
Oh.
I'll have a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Where I am drinking and I'm not, I'm me in the dream. No one wants to hear about my, like, fucking entire dream, but
I do.
I drink and I wake up like in a sweat, feeling guilty that I have drank something. And then I check my app and I'm like, oh, thank fucking God I didn't actually like do that. But yeah.
Well, oh my gosh, that's crazy because that segues. I want to hear about your dream though.
I can't remember. It happens multiple times. Like sometimes I'll just be having my normal dream and all of a sudden I'll feel drunk in my dream. Like I took a shot and I can feel what that feels like in my body.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, ugh. And I wake up like, holy shit, am I drunk? I really don't want to be drunk.
Yes.
And I realize I'm sober and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have the spins. I'm not about to throw up. I'm okay. I'm good.
Yes. I've had dreams where I am drunk in them.
Yes.
Physically. Yeah. And I'm fucking up my life so badly.
Oh no, you're like in jail by the end of your dream and every
And I or driving like and like weird stuff, getting pulled over. I've had that dream before.
Oh.
And I do, you know, I wake up and I'm like, oh, and I like almost feel like mad at myself and I'm like, wait a second, no, you're still sober, it's all good. However, with that being said, what would you do if you drank, like, right now? Like, if you had a glass of wine, like, how would you treat that, Kaylee? Would it be, like, there's so many, like, terminology for it, right? Like, relapse, fall forward, which I like. That's, like, a learning experience. Hopefully you didn't fall forward flat on your face.
Yeah.
And then there's a slip-up, which I think I would call it a slip-up. However, I think there's a difference between slipping up and having, you know, one night where you drank and then, or continuing to drink from there. Like,
yeah. So the last time I had anything like that was interesting because I had gone 30 days and then like was back at it. And then I went 200 days and I was like, I really want to get to a year. Like, this is going to be so cool. And I was at a wedding and I didn't know anyone. I didn't have like any of my
toolkit,
anything from my toolkit. I had fuck all. And
just a hot summer night and some alcoholic beverages.
Yeah. And it was a wedding, which we'll have a whole podcast episode about because that's a whole thing. And I told myself that I was making the conscious decision to drink and that it would be, you know, fine and that I'm not going to beat myself up about it and I'm going to allow myself to do this. And then I did it and I immediately went back to drinking like every single day after that. It was just right back to the old wagon, drawing board.
Off the wagon?
On the... Yeah, I was.
When you're on the wagon, are you sober? Or is it
are you still on? Let me pretend to be my dad, and then I'll figure out the mystery.
No, I think
are
it's
you
like
still on the wagon.
If you're on the wagon, you're driving it, and you're sober. If you're off the wagon, you're like getting dragged behind it by your like by a rope.
Oh,
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I would say.
That makes sense. It's some sort of creepy, like medieval
old.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like I said, I think I would say slip up.
Yeah.
But I'm not fucking gonna do that.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, what sort of situation would you have to be in to drink again now that you haven't had it in almost a year?
Right. Well, and then I guess for other people, though, right? Yeah. They are like, oh, I haven't drank in 306 days. I'm going to make the conscious decision to have champagne tonight at this celebration.
Yeah.
And then they're not she. I always say she. Like, whoever this is a badass bitch. I fucking love her. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like she doesn't drink again then for another 40 days, right? And then she's like, oh, I will, you know, be at the lake with my friends. I'm going to have one alcoholic beverage and then not drink anymore. And I think that that's so amazing to be able to have that conscious, healthy relationship with yourself enough to have it with alcohol.
Special occasion drinkers.
You have a huge envy for this.
Yes. And my partner's one. And okay, so I'm making a subcategory in the subcurious genre. I have no authority to do this, but this is what I'm doing. So within the sober curious genre, there are the special occasion drinkers, who are people who don't normally drink on a day-to-day basis, but when they go to a wedding or it's a bachelorette thing or it's a whatever, then they drink and they have a really good time and they have these fun memories and they come back and everything's, you know, peachy keen. And
my husband is one of those people.
Yeah. And my partner is one of those people too. And I fucking hate it. I'm like, good for you. You have the ideal relationship with alcohol in my eyes. I feel like in addition to like just regular like alcohol use disorder, I also Katie's making a face when she looks like a witch. eat little children. I don't know what she's doing.
I'm actually, what Kaylee hasn't been totally transparent with you about is I'm trying to get a video of her talking to post on our Instagram page, and I'm fucking her up. So I just, in case you didn't know, I run the socials. It's really important to me, and she's like does all of the hard work. So,
and that must have not been a good one that you were trying to get, because your face looked not.
I used a filter just because like the ambiance of my house is kind of shitty right now. So you know, fake it till you make it on the interwebs. But I turned on the filter and it made you look like you had no nose.
Oh,
and my I look like a Bratz doll. So I was like, we're not gonna do this. Anyways, that's a good here a little sidebar. Follow us at Dry Hard Pod on Instagram.
Yeah, check out that hot pic.
Yeah, I didn't post it. I exited out of it, and I'm gonna make you do it again here in a minute.
That was not worthy.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that's a cool thing we're talking about.
Oh, so what I was saying was there's a subcategory of people within the sober curious thing that are special occasion drinkers, and I'm not one of those, because I, in addition to just alcohol use disorder, feel like I have binge. I don't know what the actual term is.
Is there a term for something like that?
I go hard or go home, you know what I mean? So every time I would be at a special occasion, I would realize that I'm vomiting in the bushes and everyone else is just chilling. So
yes,
I can't do that.
Also, I'm gonna say not everyone else was chilling. You remember that, like you were barfing in the woods, and at least a handful of other people were like doing terrible things also, probably.
I'm glad that I just usually threw up and went to bed. It probably got me out of a lot of trouble, to be honest.
Night night.
Yeah, I was a sleeper. I was always the first one out, man.
Oh, I wish, dude. Alcohol energized me so much so that I would just continue drinking to stay up all night. I never wanted to go to bed, and I would throw up, and my friends, myself included, we would laugh and we would say, reset button, ha ha, and then I would just keep putting shots away.
So, do you have any desire to eventually go into being someone who could drink every once in a while?
No, I think that like sometimes I guess maybe I'm seeing right now, like envisioning like my highest self or whatever. Like, can she have a glass of wine? I think she could, but
does she want to?
No.
Yeah.
And I don't romanticize my drinking days. I didn't really have very many good ones. Like when I would go ham, I was usually on a path to destruction, if you will.
Wanting to watch the world burn.
I don't think that I will. I think that if I did, I think I already said this, but
it would be a slip up.
I wouldn't reset my counter if it was one day.
Yeah.
And if it was only one day, I would start to trust myself even more than I do now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that would be a sign of strength, not weakness.
Totally.
If that happened for me, because I'm so far away from that.
Yeah.
That if I got to a point like that and then I was like, oh, I'm good, I think that would be awesome. But I just, you know, I'm still on this journey to the opposite of destruction.
Yeah. So. I do think, though, like, if someone wants to quit for a week or a month, or they want to do sober January or whatever. I mean, when I did my first month, I got back off the wagon. We'll never know. I started drinking again, and then I stopped and I went 200 days, but I never told myself that I was.
Yeah. What was your plan when you did that?
I went into it with the mentality of, I am just trying to see how long I can go. But if I go on vacation, or if I do, you know, something to where I don't have access to my usual coping mechanisms, which is weed, which is something I feel shame about, but whatever.
We'll say it out loud until you don't feel shame anymore.
Yeah. I needed a 420 friendly travel location. And if I didn't have one, then I felt like I would just want to drink. And so I went into it. I think if you tell yourself the day you want to stop drinking that this is it, throw everything away, you're never going to be able to drink again. It's like doing the same thing with a diet, right? If you tell yourself you could never have carrot cake, then all you want to do is eat carrot cake. So
yes. Oh my gosh. 100%. I'm like that.
So it's honestly really helped to have the attitude of like, if I make a conscious decision that I want to have a drink, then I'm going to like allow myself to be okay with that. But I also just have like that like curiosity of I just really want to see how far I can go.
Yes. Yeah.
For and sure. Yeah, the idea of resetting my counter would just, it wouldn't undo any of the work that I've done, because honestly, if I started drinking again, I would probably go ham for like a, I don't know, like 3 days and go on like a weekend because I'm traveling or on a vacation, go on a bender and then come home and immediately like
hate yourself.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of when I usually say fuck it. I usually say fuck it pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I would be worried that I would either hopefully, you know, get right back on track, but I'd be worried that it would take me a while. And then and the first month is so hard.
The first month and the third month.
Yeah.
Like the quarterly months are difficult for sure for me.
You said you were getting like irritated and angry.
I was pretty pissy from the time we started recording this podcast until about a month ago. So we started recording this podcast in June.
Yeah.
And I was pretty pissy for a while, but but that was okay. It got better. And I think I was mad at myself.
Yeah. What do you think for?
Well, it came across as being like angry at everyone else, but I think I was kind of upset with myself that I had been living this life for so long, like from a place of lack and like needing other people and needing more.
Yeah.
To realizing I didn't need all of that. And so I was like mad at myself because I was like, no, like this is scary and this is hard, but there's a reason you interacted with alcohol that way. There's a reason that these relationships are the ones that are screaming at you that aren't authentic in your life. Like, there's a reason you're acting this way and that you're, like, allowing this part of your personality become so, so much a part of you that you aren't happy anymore.
Yeah.
And so when I stopped drinking, those things were just screaming at me like, this isn't for you. This isn't for you. This isn't for you. You wanted to say fuck no, but you didn't. And now you're stuck with this. And, you know, like, and it's not anyone else's fault, because if, you know, no one else knows what's authentic to me. I'm the only one that can take responsibility for that.
Totally.
And so I think I was just like, oh, I have to take so much responsibility for this shit, you know? And so I think I was feeling that, but now I'm on the other side of all of that. And I'm like so proud of myself for taking control of all of it that I'm not mad anymore. And I'm like not even, I'm trying not to road rage during traffic. Like that's my barometer of like if I'm having a good day and taking care of myself enough. Like if I'm screaming at the guy in front of me, it's like, bitch, you need to calm down. You need to meditate, take a bath. Like you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But the days where I'm just like, oh, okay, go ahead. You know, whatever, that I'm like feeling good. I'm like, okay, I've got control of my emotions and myself today.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard for me to tell, like, what is my sobriety and what is just, like, getting older, because I have heard that your 30s are awesome. And I do kind of feel like I'm really coming into my own. And turning 30 has been, and getting sober has been something that have been happening at the same time.
Same. And COVID.
And COVID. And just, yeah, so much that's affecting who I am and what's important to me.
Right.
And just having those tools, having the wisdom to be like, oh, I'm acting in a way that's like passive aggressive towards my partner. Yes. And I should just tell him, you know, I can't expect him to be a mind reader. And I need, like, I used to just be like, my partner's pissing me off, I'm gonna get fucking drunk. you know, like, I'm going out with my girls, I'm just gonna, like, I would be like, I don't want to feel these emotions, like,
right.
And having to feel them is hard, but I feel like I'm a way better partner. Like, I feel like my relationship's stronger than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am actually starting to heal the relationship I have with myself and understand that. And I honestly feel not drinking allowed me to dig in to that sort of work. And
right. I hear you 100%. So, like, the self-discovery aspect to not drinking is enough to keep me not drinking. And yes, you're right. Being 30, COVID, everything that's happening in the world, it's like, I'm so glad that I am this version of myself for it, because I would not be handling life well had I not quit drinking January 1st. And that's, like, another thing that I would love to touch on and honestly probably do a whole episode on, is, like, one person's version of sobriety should not ever be weighed out and compared to another person's. Like,
yeah,
Kaylee, you didn't have to lose your license and lose your partner and your house and your family to have a rock bottom and to decide to quit drinking alcohol.
That's a really good point, Katie, that everyone's rock bottom kind of looks different.
And some people don't have them. Like, I didn't have a one moment, right? I had a collection.
Oh, well, dude, we joke about, I had several moments that should have been my call to stop drinking. And yeah. I just...
This hangover is going to suck.
Yeah. NBD. Like,
I think that the sober curious movement and cutting back and, you know, healing that relationship with yourself and with alcohol prevents so many rock bottoms that look like losing your license, losing your house, losing your partner, losing everything. And I think that if there was less shame around recovery and the word alcoholism, we would be in an entirely different version of the world right now in 2021 had this been going on 40 years ago. My dad might not have suffered from alcoholism his whole life, you know, if there were more ways to ask for help and more people who were conscious of themselves, right?
Yeah. And I would say for anyone who doesn't relate to the idea of completely, like, not drinking, or that, like, being sober freaks them out, like, I get that, because that freaked me out too. And I would tell my therapist, and I'd tell people, I really feel like if I quit drinking, it is gonna open up so many other things for me. Like, I felt like I was on the precipice of all these doors opening, but that something was blocked. And I knew that if I quit drinking, that I could actually start to I don't know, just work on shit like confidence and body shit and all that stuff. So
yeah, it's so crazy you say that, because when I quit drinking, I had no idea why. Like, things weren't particularly bad. I mean, yeah, we had the Mexico stint, right? Like, that wasn't fun. And I was kind of feeling a little trapped in my routine. We were drinking at my house a lot more. And alcohol kind of did become a little bit more center of the universe. But I didn't know why I was quitting or what the end goal was at all.
It's coming cool. into it open can be cool, though, because then all of a sudden you check your thing and realize that you're 500 days in and that you feel fucking amazing and your skin looks great. Yeah. And you,
I had no idea that this would all be happening, but it, you know, quitting alcohol, I think mostly, this is funny, has allowed me to cringe at less.
Yeah.
I used to cringe at everything.
I think everything's like, so
that's
cute.
So no, I was like, that's so douchey. Like, everything that people would do, I was so judgmental just because I was so afraid of why I couldn't do those things, you know?
Yeah.
And when I quit booze, I was like, well, I'm doing some shit that people think is weird already. So here I go. I'm going to put myself in front of the camera, right? I'm going to say yes to go to the healing circle. And, you know, I'm going to fucking just be open to things I wish I would have been open to 10 years ago. My life would be so different. And, you know, don't yuck someone else's yum, bitch, because that was me. I was doing that.
That's amazing.
I know. And there's one part of this I think is really cool, because I was really scared to initially put out our podcast and put out, you know, my sobriety journey at all on social media, because there's these little voices in your head, right, that tell you like, that's dumb, and like laugh, you know, they're laughing at me or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of those voices is like the form of a person that I know in real life. And that person reached out to me, that I always thought was sitting behind their computer or their phone laughing at me, reached out to me and said, I am so grateful you're sharing your sobriety journey. I've been sober for 74 days and this has helped me.
That's so fucking
cool. And then on another occasion, that same person messaged me, and that person was on a huge pedestal for me all through my early 20s, like very cool in our community, like always wanted him to think that I was, you know, rad or whatever.
Yeah.
Reached out to me again and was like, I would love to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Like, it's just so amazing how alcohol can keep you in this space of self-doubt. And then when you put yourself out there, you don't realize how many other people are feel exactly the fucking same as you.
And you can still invite people who don't drink to stuff. And
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go. Yeah,
I know. And that's like, that's definitely something too, that I want people to still think I'm cool. Like, please still invite me to the things. Like,
well, I really badly want to be able to relate to this part of the Sober Curious movement that's like sexy and like mocktails and bars and dancing. And I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm having a hard time. And I wish that I was like more felt able or ready to do those things. But I also have to attribute it to the fact that I'm 31.
Yeah.
And it'd be different if I was 24. I probably would want to be sexy and go out and have fun and, you know, go sober. That would be awesome. Go to music festivals sober. Like, I think it's amazing that people can do that. It's just not something that I've really figured out for myself yet.
Katie, like, what should... So, like, people who don't want to go the traditional route, how did you start thinking about your relationship with alcohol and deciding that you wanted to make some sort of change? Because it wasn't a specific thing, but did you just have a gut feeling like, this is what I need to do?
I was around someone who wasn't drinking like every other month all of last year.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so, which is so cool, because when you look back now that I know what I know, she was an expander for me, is what I would call her, right? And she never talked to me about being sober. Like, it wasn't something that she ever like suggested for me or anything, but it inspired me.
Yeah.
And so, and then also another really good friend of mine, she quit. She had a bad experience with alcohol, and she was like, I'm just gonna quit drinking through the holidays. And so she didn't drink for like 3 months. And I was like, well, shit. And my husband didn't drink.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like do dry January.
Yeah. Okay.
And it just happened to be like New Year's Day, you know, New Year's resolution. So yeah. That's how that came to be. But it was crazy, because I think I was talking about doing a sober month and my phone picked up something. And I all of a sudden saw like an ad for like a sober, like a non-alcoholic beer or something. And I wound up clicking on the page, and it just took me down this rabbit hole. Like, you know how you do when you get sucked into your phone.
Yes. They're listening, and that shit fucking works.
Oh, 100%. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Fucking take all my money. Anyways.
Daddy Bezos.
Yeah. So I just came across like all of these sober pages on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that that was a thing before I quit drinking.
Yeah.
So I definitely came into that like at the end of my 30 days. And then that I posted an Instagram story. Super non-committal. I was like, okay, it'll disappear in 24 hours. Like, if people don't want to see it, then whatever. But I posted like a picture of me I looked really cute because I just got a new haircut. And it was like, it said like, no big deal, 30 days sober or 30 days booze free. And then like I had put in like parentheses underneath, like, JK, it's actually a really big deal for me.
Yeah.
And I was blown away at how many people reached out to me and saying how awesome that was. And so I was like, well, why would I go keep drinking? Like, I got instant gratification, right? Like, I had some, what would you call it? Endorphins.
Yeah.
From those responses on Instagram, which I know is like another form of addiction, you know?
Yeah.
And those feel good hormones. But it made it like exciting for me. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a thing. This feels good for me. And so I actually don't think that I posted something permanently on my page that I was sober, quit drinking sober. And I don't even think I said that, right? I think it was my first booze-free vacation to Laguna in April. So I was already 4 months sober before I had shared it openly and said this was my first sober vacation in 10 years. And so that's kind of how all of that came to be. And I was playing around, looking at the hashtags, and just found this amazing community. I think it was the 1000 Hour Dry page that I stumbled upon first. And I just felt it was so helpful. There's so much good information. And then I just started following all these badasses that weren't drinking, men and women. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
So if someone was, I don't know, maybe like listening to our podcast, was like, oh, this, they, you know, they finally convinced me to maybe try, like, I'm going to go, you know, a week or something like that. Like, what would be some things that, like, if you were going to do, if it was old you and you were going to do your dry January again, or like the sober Octobers that you would like lie about doing, what advice would you give yourself, your old baby self?
Okay, baby sobriety Katie, the advice I would give her would be stock your fridge full of NA beverages.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't do that before.
Yeah.
I never did that until like the last couple of months, actually. Last 3 months or something.
And the options have been getting so much better.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing. Yeah. And like, I'm not even talking like NA specific to alcohol. I'm just talking like beverages in general. Like, it's so nice to have a crispy beverage from the fridge. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Cold boy.
Yeah. So I would say that a little bit. I would get on Instagram and I would look at the hashtag Sober Curious app.
Yeah.
And I would go to the popular page first and like look at some of the people who are creating funny content, like things that make you laugh, and also informational content. I think that the science really helped me. And then just following people that you think are doing cool shit, that alcohol isn't the center of their internet presence.
Yeah.
Is huge. And then I would tell two people, if you're going 30 days, be like, I'm really going to do this. And I want you to know that I'm really going to do this, because that just adds that little bit of accountability.
Yeah.
You don't have to share it on your shit. Like, if you want to, you should, but
sure.
You know, and then I would say too, of course, I always say this because I actually fucking believe it, but there's a 14-day free trial of Reframe app.
Nice.
And so using it that first 2 weeks of your sobriety, whether, I mean, you know, whether you're going to continue it or not, doesn't matter. It's free for the first 14 days. So use that to try to get into a good pattern of like doing the little daily tasks, like doing a meditation and doing this and doing that and doing a small journal. It takes like 15 minutes in the morning. And then maybe share on that forum, because that forum is specific to people who are cutting back.
Yeah.
There's a cutback version. There is a sober version. There's a moms. There's LGBTQIA. There's so many different sectors on the forum there that you can chat with. And
yeah.
So that was really helpful too. And it's anonymous. Like, you just make up your username. Like, no one knows who you are. So those are the things that I would tell myself. And then get outside as much as you can during that 30 days. Find things that make you feel good.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So baby me, I would definitely say, you know, you mentioned going to Laguna, your first sober vacation, when you were 4 months in. I think baby me would really, like, I didn't have to endure everything that I made myself go through.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a huge one. Like, say no to shit in your first 30 days, in your first 6 months.
Yeah, and just dip out. I didn't feel like I could do that. I still can struggle with that a little bit, of wanting people to think that I'm cool and I can still hang, when in reality I'm just kind of white knuckling through a different social interactions, going to bars, things like that.
Oh, fucking no thank you.
So I would definitely avoid a lot of that shit until I could make a list of things that like I could enjoy and not trigger me. But yeah, any like weddings or beach parties or things like that, I would avoid for sure. So I mean, and I started, you know, during COVID, so that those temptations weren't as strong as they are now. Mm-hmm. I've been invited to a lot more stuff lately, and I'm glad that I'm 400 days in when I'm making those decisions now. So
yeah. Something else too that I recommend doing is documenting after a craving. Like, write it down in your journal. Like, see why you're craving booze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Okay, I want a beer right now. Okay, well, what just happened that made me want a beer? Am I tired? You know, am I hungry? Am I stressed out because it was a really long day? Yeah. Am I excited because I just found out, you know, bah, X, Y, and Z? Like,
yeah.
Get to know where those triggers and cravings come from, and, you know, then address that problem instead of numbing it.
And find a better way to, you know, if you want to celebrate something, have a list of things that feel good when you're like in the mood to celebrate, you know.
And don't spend all of your money at Lululemon to celebrate, because that's par for the course.
But you know what, you're saving money, baby.
I know, it's true. I'm not gonna beat myself. And that's another thing which is so funny with all of this, just everything in life, and something I'm learning so much now, there's always something
to beat yourself up about.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I fucking hate myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like there's always another thing. I actually laughed with Kaylee last night because I like brought out all of these cards that I bought, and I brought all of these like journals, and I'm like, okay, I literally do not need another self-help. Like, my house is going to turn into a library of self-help books and cards and programs and this, you know. It's so hard to not just want to fix,
yeah,
when you're sober.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of having to take a breather on that, like go every other night with a meditation, or you know kind of just like enjoy things still.
Yeah,
make room for things that are just so silly.
That perfectionism runs deep.
Oh, so deep.
It's so hard.
I know.
It's okay. Well, so in summary, I would say go with your gut. If you are thinking that, I don't know, if you just have weird feelings around how you feel the next day after you drink, or you've listened to this podcast, or you started following someone and you are curious about it, just, yeah, go do it and tell someone for accountability.
Yeah, 100%. Be selfish.
Say no to shit. And also...
Which... Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, interrupt the shit out of me.
That reminds me of like one of my favorite podcasts, Crime Junkies. Like, I think everyone listening, if you're listening to us, bitches, you better have listened to Crime Junkies if you're into true crime. Because yeah. Ashley Flowers is amazing. And they always say their tagline is like, be rude and stay alive, or some shit like that. That's not it at all, but it's something like that. Like, be mean and stay alive. Like, be selfish and stay sober, if that's what your goal is, right? Like,
yeah.
And commit. And if not for anything else, just to like prove to yourself you can fucking do it. And if you're someone who's like, then like, wow, this is awesome, I'm gonna drink again, cool, do that. Be selfish still, stay sober still, say no to those triggering situations that might help make you overdo it.
Yeah,
drink in controlled environment, do it where you feel safe and after you've had a good day, and when you don't, you know, hate yourself.
Yeah.
What
other tools do I have? Fuck, let's see. So I would also say, follow more people on social media, and also Sober Curious by Ruby Warrington. I listened to the audiobook. I would just put it on, like, I like got it from my library's app and would just put it on when I was cleaning or when I was like walking my dog. And
dude, Quitlet is legit.
Yeah, and I just, I don't know, it was actually, like, really cool and really helpful, and to realize that, like, I don't know, you don't have to figure everything out for yourself, like, listen to people who have gone through it before,
and
it's hard, because it's kind of like a breakup when you break up with alcohol, you know, you're like, people who have broken up with boyfriends before, like, it totally sucks, I feel you, but, like, it's gonna be better, and you're like, no, it's not, it's gonna be shitty forever, but
it
really won't.
Totally.
Whether you do 5 days or 30 days or whatever, you will benefit from even taking a day, consciously making the decision to not drink.
I 100% agree with you. I read Quit Like a Woman at, like, day 50 by Holly Whitaker.
Okay, yeah,
that
she's great.
Book is a work of art. For me, it spoke to me and my drinking experience so much.
Yeah.
And I just really love this idea. And she is a pioneer 100% in the Sober Curious community. I think she has joined Tempest, which I'm not super familiar with, but I love the branding. I love the way that looks. And keep up what you're doing, because it's rad. Just, like, she basically said, like, I want to develop a means to recover that's not AA. Like, AA was not made for me.
Yeah.
By people who are like me.
Yeah.
And it's the 21st century.
Yeah.
And I need something different. Yeah. Well, she's very much like, fuck the man.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a white, like, AA is like a white, what is the word that to describe? Like, white Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah. White Anglo-Saxon.
AA is WASP.
Yeah. For sure. And it was made for men by men.
Yeah.
For white men by white men.
Yeah.
And I know that they've made some revisions, but I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that it's, like, respectful to people of color. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go as far to say that, because A, I'm not, I don't know. Yeah. I don't go to AA meetings. I don't interact with AA.
Yeah.
And I have a really complicated relationship with my dad, and he swears by it, so I immediately shut it down. I'm like, nope, fuck that.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. And it does
work for him, though.
Dude, totally. And we have a good friend who is in AA right now, and, you know, making it her own. I think that that's so important, to be like, you really should be making any self-help, any kind of therapy, your own. Anyways, read Quit Like a Woman, listen to it. Holly Whitaker's a shit, and it's like, I think the coin phrase off it is the radical choice to quit drinking alcohol in a society that's obsessed with it. And I was like, damn. In summary, we just recapped everything that we already talked about. We feel very passionate about this.
Yeah.
There's just a lot to be said. So if we're feeling all over the place, like I am, my head is going, you know, all over, because
well, you start making those, like, red yarn connections of, like, yes. Oh, shit, this is the fucking patriarchy. Oh, shit, this is fucking big alcohol. Oh, shit, this is fucking capitalism. And it can get wild.
Yeah, and I fully believe in taking accountability for your actions and owning your own life. And so I think that that does look like challenging things like that in order to take responsibility.
So if you're thinking about doing a challenge, message us at Dry Hard Pod, because we really want to know what you're committing to, what your goals are for drinking, right? Whether it's to cut back or to quit completely and why. And we'd love to support you along the way.
I, Kaylee, think we should start doing Sober Day shout outs.
Yeah. Or even eventually having folks come on and ask, you know, for advice and stuff like that. I mean Katie and I, our qualifications are what you already know about us, but
I think it would be great to have people on the show. Our plan is to have people on the podcast who are in conscious relationships with alcohol, whether it's the choice to abstain or the choice to consciously use alcohol.
And also Katie and I have some different experiences. We share a lot of similarities in our experience, and I would love to have other people who are deciding to not drink, whether it is cutting back or not drinking at all. I would really love to hear about their experiences too, because there might be some commonalities that other people are wondering, like, is this normal? Is this not normal? I was feeling this way, and why we may not be able to directly relate, someone else might have, you know, be in that stage and remember that more clearly, or have a different solution to how to to how to get through certain problems, because we don't know everything.
Well, right? I don't have to have a tool in my kit to be, you know, walk in a room and have no one look like me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't even imagine what it would be like to go through life like that with those kinds of situations, and how I would manage my relationship with alcohol in that. Right? Like, there's just so much more that exists out there beyond the problems you and I have. And so I think that everyone being represented to the best of our ability anyways is, I would only be helpful for people. Last thing I think today is, we wanted to say thank you. We've had over 500 listens.
I don't even know how to say how awesome that is. We really appreciate it.
I like woke up and screamed because I was saying, I want 500 listens on the podcast by December 1st. And it was like well before December 1st that it happened. And I think that this information is reaching more people. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it makes me so happy. I really want to continue doing it. So we love that you like it. And if you don't...
We've said it before.
Don't tell us.
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Good night.